Hello everybody, welcome to the FPL Banter Pod. I hope we are all well. I hope you all had a good game week too. Mine wasn't so good, unfortunately. I got a 44 and I'll go through the week and discuss where it went right, where it went wrong, and obviously my plans and what I'm going to do and what I have done, should I say, because about 2 hours ago before recording this, I've made my transfers already, because I didn't really want to say I'm going to do something and then not do it and go down another route. And it's been I've had so many different ideas in my head what I wanted to do with these 2-3 transfers. But yeah, so it started very well on the Friday night with the Chelsea-West Ham game. Chelsea battering West Ham 5-1. João Pedro getting a goal and 2 assists. 15 points he got me. He was the captaincy option. And I didn't look at Chelsea for captaincy because I didn't want to captain the first game of the weekend. And I have a thing about this, no matter who. Unless, like, Salah, or you got Salah or Haaland, and they've got the worst team in the league at the time, but it's a 12:30, that's the only time I'll ever captain someone early, where I just think, guaranteed, they're going to get me points. Other than that, I won't touch it. Now, I knew West Ham were bad when they lost to Sunderland. However, I didn't expect them to be that bad, and they were dreadful. Sorry, West Ham fans, to any of you listening, but they were dreadful. And I think Potter's lost a clue. He hasn't got a, excuse the pun, he doesn't seem to be able to get a rabbit out of the hat. He has no magic tricks of any kind. And yeah, it's only a matter of time before he goes. I heard rumours today that Mourinho wants to come back to the Premier League and he wants to leave the Forest for the West Ham job. So whether that's just sort of the two clubs that are having a bit of issue with their managers, you know, and now all of a sudden Mourinho wants one of the jobs, it could just be one of those paper rumours. But yeah, as it stands, I think West Ham are probably favourites to go down along with Burnley at the moment. That third one's probably up for grabs. Some people would still say Brentford, some people would still say Wolves, but yeah. But yeah, West Ham are dreadful. I got 15 points. Palmer didn't play. So I had a 1-point Murillo come in for me, who played on the Sunday. So it wasn't, I got no jammy points, unfortunately. A great start. I thought, okay, good start. I got Pedro. And then we go on to Saturday lunchtime. Spurs beat City 2-0, which I suppose it was a surprise to me, even though Spurs have a great record at the Etihad and Thomas Frank actually has a very good record against Pep and City. So I was quite surprised. I wasn't surprised with the result. I was more surprised with how well Tottenham played. Now, I know better than most on how Frank plays football. He likes to play counter-attacking football. He likes to play a certain football that you just constant pressure, not letting the other team play. And, you know, at Brentford, some games it worked and some games it didn't. And Brentford just didn't have the consistency to go at the levels every single week that Frank wanted, where he's now at a bigger club. And they are a bigger club, Spurs. You know, I'm a Brentford fan, but I'm not delusional. Where they're a bigger club, they have bigger and better players. They bought better players like Kudus, who's basically that Mbeumo role in that Spurs side, for what Mbeumo was to us. And he's got a player who we used to say was Bambi on ice in Richarlison, now all of a sudden looking like a almost a Harry Kane-esque at the moment. He's working wonders, Frank. He's doing a brilliant job, and he showed it again against City. In terms of FPL points for me, I had a Van de Ven clean sheet, which I would happily take, and I had a Kudus even though blanked, he got an extra point with a clean sheet, so we'll take it. So yeah, I thought, okay, well, I've got every single player I have right now has got a return. So I was like, okay, great, all right. So then, I'm on my way to Brentford Villa. I watched the first half of Spurs City, then I was on my way to Brentford Villa, and I had a feeling. I was like, we're going to get pumped today. And that's why I went for the Watkins captain. You know, we had such a bad start against Forest, and I didn't really see this Villa game being the bounce back game. But, your first home game back in the Premier League, new manager, and you couldn't really say there was a new manager bounce, because I think we were still missing Frank and we were still worried about the club making this decision on Andrews. We just bought Dango, which gave the club a bit of a lift, but it was still very, just didn't have a nice feeling about it. And how wrong I was. We were excellent. We were absolutely brilliant. And similar to what Frank did against City, we didn't let Villa play. Especially in that first half, we went 1-0 up with a Dango goal 15 minutes into his debut, scores a goal, got a little bit lucky with the deflection that went back to him, but, he's done it. He had to do a lot of work to get that goal, and he did. And then it should have been 2-0 if it wasn't for that dodgy foul, apparently, even though the keeper just jumped into Collins, but let's not have a little refereeing debate. But we look good. And, Villa, I think it was a little bit of we look good and we played to our strengths and our tactics and we got it spot on. Henderson was brilliant, by the way. Henderson, now I was one of these, right, who slated Henderson a lot, especially in an England shirt. We said he wasn't good enough. Why is he in the team? Because he's gone to Saudi and he's done this and he's done that. And when we signed him, first, 10 minutes, I was like, what are we doing? Why have we just bought Jordan bloody Henderson? I wasn't happy about it. And then the more I thought about it, I thought, well, hang on. He played for Liverpool. He's won a Champions League. He's won a Premier League. And I sort of looked at him as a voice. I thought, well, he's going to be a great voice in that changing room, but I don't want him starting. And then obviously that Forest game, and he came on against Forest, and we looked a lot better. I thought, okay, all right. Now, in that Forest game, we didn't have Damsgaard, Sharde, or Henderson starting, and we didn't have Dango at that point either. So, and then when I saw the lineup, I was like, Sharde, Damsgaard, Dango's straight in, Hendo starting as well. I was like, okay, all right. Hendo was amazing. And he's one of these, I think, Hendo. I think if he don't play for you, you look at him and go, why are you in the team? But when you watch him, when you're at the ground and you watch him and you do the actual eye test and you see him just bossing that midfield. And there was a moment where he was on the touchline with Rodgers, and he tackled Rodgers and it ricocheted off him for the throw-in. And he cheered the throw-in like it was a goal. It's just like, the passion he's already showing for Brentford is just amazing. And he genuinely was brilliant. He just nullified that midfield and just made it so difficult for Villa to play. And then he came off in the 70th minute and Onyeka came on. And then Onyeka's been a bit of a Marmite player for Brentford. You either love him or you hate him. And you never quite know what you're going to get with him. He has a mistake in him. He was brilliant as well. So he went away on loan and all of a sudden he's a top player. So I'm not sure if maybe Frank could get the best out of him, and maybe Andrews can, who knows. But it was a great start for Brentford, great debut for Dango, and Brentford go to Sunderland tomorrow, which is a hard place to go, Sunderland, but after the back of beating Villa 1-0 and then winning the cup as well, two back-to-back clean sheets, there's a bit of a, excuse the bees pun, but there's a bit of a buzz all of a sudden from Brentford, and I have a good feeling about tomorrow. If you'd offer me a draw, I'd probably take it, but I actually think we can go there and get 3 points. The only sticky situation with that Brentford game is Watkins was my captain, and Watkins was he didn't really get much service. I think he got one shot away, which went pretty off target. Kelleher was quite comfortable most of the game, but that was credit more to our defence. He was just... I know some people say, well, he didn't have the service, he didn't have that, but you're still a striker, you're still a number nine. Like, you kind of got to make moments happen for you sometimes, and he just wasn't with it. Same with Rodgers, really. That was a bit annoying with my captaincy being a flop. And to be fair, no matter where I went, because I didn't even consider Pedro, I would have flopped anyway, so it was just one of them. And then I had the Arsenal game, so I just had Declan Rice, and he got an assist, didn't he? I thought, here we go. Like, he's going to get a load of corners. He's going to get two or three assists in this game, and unfortunately, that was the only assist he got. And the Arsenal defence and Gyökeres kind of ruined me a little bit. It made my... Actually, what looked like a decent green arrow yet again, it was getting smaller and smaller. And I was like, uh-oh. And yeah, look, credit to Arsenal, brilliant. Leeds just rolled over, to be honest. I think it'll be a lot different against Liverpool. However, I'll get to Liverpool in a bit, but I have a little prediction for that game, which we will get to. But yeah, Arsenal were great. Rice got me an assist, so I'll take it. And then we went into the Sunday, and yeah, Sunday I got nothing. As I said, I had a Murillo one-pointer. I had a Brighton clean sheet go within 12 minutes. And yeah, just a bad, bad Sunday. And my red arrow, I basically got a red arrow after the Sunday. And I just knew what was coming with Liverpool. I only had Verts. And again, he was useless. He's done nothing. Verts is still in my team. Somehow, I'm keeping him for one more week. But what a game that was, wasn't it, by the way? Liverpool-Newcastle. I said in the Slack, in the FPL family Slack that I'm a part of, I'd sent a picture of me with like a massive bowl of popcorn. And it was a popcorn game. It had that feel to it with the whole Isak transfer saga, which is still going on. You know, three more days for that all to be sorted somehow, some way. But yeah, that was all going on. And then it was just feisty. And then Anthony Gordon got the red card, which I think was it like 76,000 people put in Gordon already for the next game week. So that's obviously annoyed a few people. And then obviously Liverpool went 2-0 up. Etiquette and Gakpo linking up again. And then it went 2-2. I thought, oh, okay, right. You know, Salah's blanked here. I'm okay. It's a small red arrow. And then he gets that assist for the 16-year-old Rio. And credit to Szoboszlai, by the way, for the little dummy. I was like, I kept looking. I think, has he touched that Szoboszlai? Has he touched it? But no, he didn't. And yet again, Salah, 1 minute left to go, and he just gets points. Just so frustrating when you're not a Salah owner. If you are a Salah owner, credit to you, fair play. You've had the rough of the luck really with him as well. And you think, really, even though Haaland scored two goals and looked better, Salah is somehow only 2 points behind Haaland. So in the little Haaland-Salah, who do you have debate? Salah sent me down to a 1.2 to a 2.4, which, yeah, wasn't good. Wasn't a good week, really. It started well, as I say, with the Chelsea game and the Spurs game, and then it just kind of went downhill from there. As I said, I got a Rice assist, but after that, just nothing. It was a 44. This week, it's been... I forgot to mention, I got very lucky with the United game because a lot of people had Bruno, and then when he missed that penalty, I was like, thank God. But, you know, let's thank the ref for that, because apparently if the ref nudges you, then you just can't score a penalty. You're just going to send it to the bloody moon. But yeah, I got a little bit lucky with the United game. But I watched the United game, and the two performances United have, even though they haven't scored, their own players yet to score in the Premier League, I thought, okay, right, Burnley this week, that's the time to go for United. So I was ready with my transfers. So we'll go into the transfers now. So on Tuesday, I was set. I thought, right, okay, I'm changing Watkins to Wood, which is done, by the way. So Wood is in. And it was just the midfielder situation. Now, I could have done so many things. I think we all knew Palmer was going to be out anyway, but we're all a bit, right, what, you know, because I had two injuries. So I had Palmer and I had Ran, but then obviously Ran's been deemed fit. So I'm hoping Pep actually starts him and not benches him. I'm going for it that Ran does start, but I just know Pep and I just have this funny feeling he's going to bloody bench him. If he does bench him, just don't bring him on, because then I've got Roden against a Newcastle side who's losing players by the minute. But I just can't bench a 6.0. That's the issue I have. And I had bigger fish to fry, in my opinion, in my team. So Wood's in. Wood is in, but purely for the fixture. And Forest actually have a nice run of fixtures. The only worry with Forest is when this Europa League campaign starts for them. Because it, you know, you could see rotation. They bought a lot of attackers all of a sudden. So you could see Wood, who used to get 80 minutes, all of a sudden go to maybe 70 or 60. Maybe some games he may not even start. But I've gone for it this week. It's West Ham. They're shocking. I think he'll start, even though this Eagle actually looks a player. I think while Nuno's still in charge, Wood is his number 9. So Wood's in, purely for the fixture. Spoiler alert, Wood is my captain at the moment, and I think he will be. But it was just that midfield. So because I've taken a bit of money out already, it was basically, I was saving a 1.3 from going Watkins to Wood. That sort of almost, no matter what I did in the midfield slot, I had money to use, whether I sold Carvalho from Brentford to another player around that price point, whether I sold Palmer for a more of a premium, or I sold Palmer to get a really cheaper option. So going into the Carabao Cup games, I was like, right, okay, Wood is in. And then I was like, right, it's going to be a Man United player. They got Burnley at home. This is the game where they're going to kick on. And then, obviously, Wednesday night, Grimsby Man United. So I saw the lineup and I saw Cunha in it. Now, Cunha was the one I was going to get. I was like, oh, Cunha starting. Okay. I don't like that, Cunha. I don't like that, Amorim. What are you doing? But I thought, okay, all right, fine. You know, United are going to... It's Grimsby, right? United are going to absolutely romp this. They're going to go 3-0 up at half-time. And, you know, they're going to sharp. Cunha's coming off at half-time. He's going to bring some of the kids on. No issues. Watching the game. A mistake from Amad and a mistake from Onana. Well, Neil Grimsby. I was like, oh, okay. Well, this ain't part of the routine. No worries. I'm sure you know how to come back. 15 minutes later, 2-0 Grimsby. And then, for those who are listening who are in the Slack, I was ripping United to shit. I was absolutely ripping them to pieces. What are you doing? Your season's just started and you're about to get knocked out from Grimsby. And it was like, right, well, Cunha's not coming off now then, is he? So, and then at half-time, Mbeumo comes on. Bruno comes on. Mbeumo scores to make it 2-1. And then Slabhead, Mr. Superhero Harry Maguire, knocks in a header in the 89th minute, 2-2. And I was like, right, fine, it's 2-2. But you've played the assets I wanted for one of them 90 minutes and won a whole half. And then it went to penalties. And then Onana saved one of the Grimsby penalties, and all Cunha had to do was score his. He misses. Right. Well, I don't want you anymore, Cunha, because you can't even score a bloody penalty against Grimsby. So the penalties go on and on and on and on. Now, the second player I wanted, and to be fair, he scored in open play in Bremo. He hits the bloody bar. Knocks Man United out. By the way, it's the most hilarious thing. And if you don't support United, you are watching that game, laughing your head off and enjoying it. Not just because it was United losing to Grimsby, but because it was a... It's why we love the Cup, right? It's why we love the League Cup. It's why we love the FA Cup. Stories like this for Grimsby, League Two sides, playing on their own home turf in the pissing rain on a Wednesday night, beating Man United on penalties. That's stuff you dream of. Especially if you're a Grimsby fan. Like, they cannot get any better than that, right? So credit to Grimsby. Shocking United. Amorim's doing interviews like he wants to leave. And he's just had enough. And the players aren't listening. Blah, blah, blah. So I was like, right, well, I'm going for you, United. So what am I going to do? And I did still consider it. I thought, right, well, I don't want Cunha. I think Cunha's a curse now. And I don't want to touch him. And I was like, well, I could still get Mbeumo, right? I thought Mbeumo's on corners. He scored a goal from open play. And I was like, come on, George, it's Burnley. But then it's like, but they just lost to Grimsby. Like, all the players that will start on tomorrow played in that Grimsby game and still can get the job done. So I went off the United idea. I thought, right, okay, I'm not going United. And then I went through the list and I thought, well, I could go all out on Forest. I could get Morgan Gibbs-White and Woods. But I thought, no, that's too much. I thought, no. And then I thought Semenyo, but then the way my midfield is, I would have had a Liverpool versus Arsenal midfield and then a Bournemouth versus Spurs midfield. I was like, I don't want my whole midfield in two games of football. And then I was just going through them, and then I was like, Saar, and I was like, no, yeah, okay, I'll get Saar. And then Saar played a full 90 on the Thursday in the Europa Conference. I thought, bloody hell. And I just looked and looked and looked. I was like, right, what am I going to do here? And then I was sort of like, I'm going to hold Palmer. I just went, oh, sod it. And I just had an idea and I thought, well, I want to hold Palmer because he's only meant to be out for 1 week. He's not playing the international break. And apparently he will be fine when the Premier League is back after the international break. And I thought, well, he's got us next game after Fulham. And I'm just not sure I'm ready to give up on Palmer yet. I know we all went for him. And the reason we all went for him was the ownership. And we kind of just followed the trend. And it's not worked out at the moment. But, and I know he's probably going to get a price drop at the moment. But I don't really follow these price rises and price drops. I like to make my decision either the day or the day before the next game week starts. But for stuff like Anthony Gordon, right, like, you make your transfer really early, you think, right, Andy Gordon's a great pick, but it's like, well, he's not played Liverpool yet, and it's like, and stuff like that, it's happened to me in the past, and it's burnt me in the past, and I just don't do it. It's just a rule I have, where if said player doesn't have a game, if they've just gone Premier League game to Premier League game, then I may do it a little bit early, But if they've got like a game, like a Champions League game or a Europa League game, I ain't making that risk. I am not taking that risk where I basically wasted a transfer and I've just sort of jumped on a price rise or fall purely because that's happening. And then you watch the game and they get sent off or they get injured. It's like, right, well, what was the whole point of doing the price rise and price fall? So I had Carvalho on my bench, and because of Dango, Carvalho is now not starting for Brentford. He'll come on, he'll get 20 minutes here and there, depending. If Brentford are losing, he'll come on. If Brentford are winning, he won't come on. So Dango's the man now. And I was like, Right, well, Carvalho, before Dango came, Carvalho was going to play in that in Bueno role. But now Dango's in, Carvalho's gone straight to the bench. It's like, right, well, I'm going to get Dango. Now, why am I getting Dango? Yes, he scored last week. And I'll be honest, it's a little bit of patriotism. It's a little bit of, do you know what? I need a Brentford in this team. You know, we're on form at the moment. We just won two games, two back-to-back clean sheets. Sunderland away. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to go for Dango, and I'm just going to go for it. It's a nice fixture. I know it's away, but it is a nice fixture. And I think with Dango is... As I said, I was at the game, I was watching Dango, and I was watching him closely, and he had Mbeumo vibes. I'm not saying he's as good as Mbeumo, or he's going to be as good as Mbeumo, but the way he was playing was very Mbeumo-esque. And I think if Brentford are going to score, or assist, or whatever, it's going to come from that right-hand side. I think Shade's not quite fit yet to do what Dango can do and be as influential as what Mbeumo used to be for Brentford. And Coyote and Dango down that right-hand side, things are going to happen down that side. And also, Dango will kind of... He'll stay on the right and then he'll go central the odd time. That's basically what he did for the goal. Thiago basically played as a false nine and Thiago went up front for the chance that we scored. It is more of a one-week punt than someone I'm holding longevity-wise. But I'm doing a free hit in free hit four. So in game week four, I'm doing a free hit. So, you know, whatever the team I have this week will be the same next week. But won't be used because I'll be doing a free hit. And yeah, look, as I say, I don't like having one of my own in my team. And it's just nice to, you know, he's already got off to a start. He's already scored. He looked, as I said, he looked really good. And he's basically on Mbeumo now. And it's like, well, going with Mbeumo last season worked for me. So Dango's taking that role. So I'm going to go for it. I'm going to, shall we say, I'm going to have a tango with Dango. And... yeah, so they're my transfers. Wood is in and Dango is in for Carvalho. That now means I can put Palmer to the bench and I can just hold him and wait and see a little bit. Because the thing is, the easiest thing for me to have done, I could have just gone Palmer to Saka. But Saka's injured as well. And Saka's out for a lot longer than Palmer. So that's where we all had the problem where, do we trust United? Do we go there? Do we trust Palace? Do we go there? And I just thought, well, there's no one I'm clear-cut I want, so I'm just going to go for a bit of patriotism in my FPL team. The only player I really did want that wasn't Dango was Semenyo, but because Semenyo was playing Spurs and I've already got Kudus, I just didn't want to have too many player versus player in my team for this week. Because I've already got Rice versus Verts, and I just didn't want to do Kudus versus Semenyo. So that is, yeah, so they're my transfers. Wood is my captain at the moment. My bus captain before Wood was actually Kudus. And if you want to go there, I don't hate it, because I think that game is going to be a thriller. I think we could see like a 3-2, a 3-3. I think there's going to be a lot of goals in it. I think Areola and Thomas Frank play a similar way. So I think we're going to see a lot of counter-attacking football, a lot of end-to-end stuff. Semenyo is a great pick. And there is a very, very, very small chance I take a hit and sell Verts for Semenyo. But it's very small. I'm probably not going to do it. But it is sticking in the back of my brain because Semenyo is the highest transfer this week. And I'm just thinking, do I go there? But I just think it's too early for a hit right now. So I will read out my team for this week. So I have Dubravka in goal. Now, I think Burnley can go to Old Trafford and get something. And I see this either being a 0-0 or a 1-0 to Burnley. And I'm just going for it. And to be honest, Verbruggen has City for Brighton. And, you know, at the moment, City will score against Brighton. They just will. Where Dubravka, I generally think, has a solid chance to get a clean sheet against this United side. And then we have a defensive three of Murillo, Van de Ven and Ryan Aitnori. Again, Ryan Aitnori, he's got to go in because he is my 6.0 defender. Can I see Pep benching him? Absolutely. 100% I can see it. But I just can't. If I was to bench him and Pep started him and he had a haul, it would just be, it's just not worth the risk for basically a Leeds player at home playing Newcastle. And hopefully if Rand doesn't start, he don't come in at all. But, you know, we'll see what Pep does. But that's my front three. And then I've got a midfield four of Rice, Kudus, Wirtz and Dango. As I said, Wirtz could become Semenyo if I'm willing to take the hit. I just think it's a little bit early to be taking hits. And if I'm going to do that kind of thing, I may as well just free hit now. But we'll see. It's a very small chance. At the moment, I'm not doing it. But I may wake up in the morning and I may get a little bit of FOMO fear of Semenyo. And I might just do it. But wait and see. And then I have a front three of Haaland, João Pedro and Chris Wood. Now, any of them three are captaincy options, 100%. I've gone for Wood purely for the fixture. I just think West Ham are so bad right now that you just have to go for the number nine, whoever's playing West Ham. I just think it's a logical explanation. Wood will be on the pens anyway. Haaland would be on pens as well, of course, and so will João Pedro. You look at them three and just go, right, Brighton away ain't an easy game for City. West London derbies are always a bit edgy, with Chelsea against Fulham. They're just edgy, and it's a 12:30 game. And as I said earlier, I very, very rarely do a 12:30 unless I'm absolutely certain Pedro's going to go off. And I think he'll score Pedro. I just don't think he's going to get as many points as what Haaland or Wood will get. And as I said, Wood has the fixture. He's playing, they're at home, they're playing a West Ham side who are 2-0 up. They were going through in the Carabao Cup and then Stran Larsson comes on and scores 2 goals in 2 minutes. And, you know, West Ham just absolutely capitulate at the back. And, you know, Forest have Woods, they've got Morgan Gibbs-White, they've got Hudson-Odoi, they've got Anderson, they've got Hutchinson to come on, they've got Jesus to come on. There's a lot of attacking threat in that Forest side where I just don't think West Ham would deal with it. And at home, Forest is always rocking at home on a Sunday. I just think that's the pick. Yeah, that's my team for game week 3. I hope you enjoyed the pod. I hope you all have a good game week, whatever you're doing. I think that Burnley game will be, because a lot of people would have gone early on United, and some people may still trust United and think they'll bounce back from that Grimsby defeat. But we will see. And, you know, not going in, Bremo may bite me on the arse, but again, we'll see. I know there's quite a few people that want to captain Bruno. I don't hate it, because if you think United are going to bounce back, then I think that is the fixture to target. But for me, I just don't think they will. I think we're going to get another situation where these United players will just want this manager out the door. I don't think they're playing for him. I don't think the system suits these players or what Amorim's trying to do. And I just don't think the players agree with it. I think the fans are getting bored of it as well. And I just think if Burnley get something, this can turn quite quickly for Amorim and United. But we shall see. Enjoy the game week. Some tasty fixtures. Liverpool, Arsenal, Bournemouth, Spurs, Fulham, Chelsea. So there's a lot of great games this weekend. And yeah, Green Arrows.